All right, buckle up. This has been electric in the commercial break. I promise you're going to fall in love with this dude. In 5 minutes, he has experienced what I have dealt with for 15 years with RJ Choppy. This is DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, and welcome the big fella. We started off in the first minute arguing about height. I said we're going to have our biggest ever guest in studio, and they came up. They said, you've never had Dirk in here? And I was like, you're 4 inches shorter than Dirk. Four. Yep. And he's like, no, I'm not.
You know, we had the big show. With the big show.
Yeah, but
we
have him?
But that was downstairs.
Is he like a little like kind of overrated tall? Like Undertaker's not a pure 6'10", right? He's like, his big show's wide.
He's wide. We compared hands with Big Show.
Oh, yeah.
And him.
Yeah.
And
I got cat paw.
It was a sight to behold.
Yeah.
I don't think his fingertips got to his calluses on his palm.
Kind of like Andre the Giant holding the beer can.
Yeah, exactly like it was.
All right, John, give us the exact pronunciation of the last name, because people argue with me about it.
No, most people get it wrong. It's Isner.
Isner.
Not Eisner, yeah.
And that is what, in terms of
background.
Oh, wow, there we go. I believe it's German.
Okay.
German descent.
Yes. All right, now, recap for the audience what has got you fired up. We're going to talk Dallas Open, all that stuff, your career, but, dude, you're a sports talk guy, big time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I walked in and First Take is on, and Cam Newton's now a part of First Take, and I love Cam Newton. I'm a Panthers fan. I'm from North Carolina. I live here now. Live super close to here. I've been here for 8 years. But you grow up in North Carolina, you become a Panthers fan. That's my team. So obviously I'm partial to Cam Newton. I thought he had an incredible career, especially that one MVP season. And then I was told he was the biggest bust of all time. Was that the quote?
No, yeah. Last 20 years.
The last 20 years. Biggest, well, then Jamarcus Russell was in the last 20 years.
Biggest bust. RJ told him biggest bust as a number one pick last 15 to 20
yeah,
years.
Yeah, RJ, that's just completely insane.
I trolled with that one, but he was a bust.
Yeah, but he's got all his Tennessee Vols gear on, right? So it's like he, you know, he doesn't probably.
Then he
doesn't
called
like
Mike Vick
Auburn.
A bust.
He called Mike Vick a bust. Like, not a bust.
Who has the most fumbles in NFL history?
Vick?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's not a bust. Fans. You could argue a tick overrated, but like not a bust.
To me, when you're like, the number one pick in the draft as a quarterback, you've got to average like 10 wins a year for your career and make the playoffs like every year.
John, who on the forget him for a second.
High threshold.
Apparently, who on the tour you sit around and have these sports debates with? Who else on the tour can talk like this?
Okay, so a lot of the guys that are old retired farts like myself, Andy Roddick, James Blake, Marty Fish, those players, sort of the older guard of American tennis. Right now, Tommy Paul, top 10 in the world. He's actually from New Jersey area, so he's a big Eagles fan right on the border.
Okay.
And Francis Tiafoe is a big Commanders fan, although I will question his fandom. I think he just likes to show up for the photo ops. He was there for the NFC Championship game, so forth and so on. Anything DC sports related for Foe. Claims he's a Capitals fan. I don't think he watches much hockey. But,
okay.
Ovechkin, I mean.
Of course.
That,
I mean, the Capitals are hot right now. They're number one in the league. But, you know, so Taylor Fritz, he doesn't act like he's a massive sports fan, but he's a LA Chargers guy. So, we got to, and then there's Riley Opelka, who is my height.
6'7".
every bit of 6'11", and he's an interesting guy. He's not like a massive sports fan. He's more of a fashion/art connoisseur. Okay. He goes to art galleries and fashion shows like all the time in his spare time. He'll fly to Europe if he's got 4 days, and he's got all these connections. He's real dialed in that scene. And he'll go to Milan for like 2 days to a fashion show. It's crazy.
Wow.
But he likes it, and he's unique, and I respect it.
Give us your opinion of the Dallas Cowboys and the Dallas Cowboy fan base.
You know, like now
you've been living around here for
how long? Exactly. So it's like obviously they're, of course, polarizing. You either love them or you hate them. Now that I've in Dallas, I don't know. It's all about the makeup of the team, right? Like, I personally like Dak Prescott a lot. He's, you know, he's the face of the team. So I don't mind the Cowboys. And I personally like that hire. They could have gone for the obviously splashy hire, and it just would have been more of a media circus. They went sort of a meat and potatoes hire from within. And I actually kind of like it. And I like Schottenheimer's first interview as well as head coach. But I think the fan base is. I remember going to Panthers games growing up, in Charlotte, and when they would play the Cowboys, and it was pretty nauseating because the stadium would get taken over. But then is obviously the flip side is the Cowboys stadium gets taken over when, you know, the Chiefs or the Steelers or San Fran comes to town. So I don't know. Cowboys fans are obviously all over the country, but there's a lot of, you know, anytime they have a home game, it's an interesting atmosphere there.
John Isner in studio. Dallas Open is coming at you here on Sean and RJ 105 through the Fan. So do you go NFL or college first since you're a Georgia Bulldog? Well, give me the top four sports you love.
Yeah.
No tennis included.
Yeah, no tennis. That's fine. We don't have to talk about tennis. I don't want to be that guy, but I think college football has just been a little tougher to digest the last couple years. I think without the transfer portal, it's just hard to.
Who were the big dogs when you were in school there?
Okay, we were just talking about that. I was talking about that with Jonathan Ford. I was there with Stafford for a little bit, and then when I was a freshman, it was like, remember David Green, David Pollock?
Oh, yeah.
AJ Green was there for a little bit, went towards the end of my career at Georgia. Some great teams. I know Sean Moreno running the ball. Thomas Brown was running the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get there in 01?
03 was my freshman year. So I think I had 1 year of David Green. DJ Shockley. Yeah. I might have missed David Green by a year, but remember DJ Shockley? Yeah, they had some great teams. But I had some, as a student there, I had some bad luck. They couldn't quite get over Florida. I think like Tebow was there at the time.
What SEC school do you hate the most?
Probably Florida, but there haven't been that much of a threat lately. I mean, Georgia's the king right now with Kirby in charge. I might learn to really dislike Tennessee more if they can get a little better, but they're not a threat.
Especially after
of course.
Not a threat. Wearing all your orange today, too.
It's funny because, like,
you were a threat this year for a little bit.
I actually almost went to Tennessee. Yeah. I actually got a lot of respect. Knoxville is one of the coolest places, one of the coolest campuses in the country.
Really?
Bar none. Yeah.
A lot of hills.
Mm hmm.
If you don't like steps, it's a bad place to be.
Beautiful, though.
Really bad. But it's funny. It's like when I was in school, I was in Tennessee, 97 to 02, 5-year plan. Bama sucked, and Georgia was like, kind of like, they were like gnats, right? They were annoying. They never really did anything to you. And then as soon as I left, everything flipped.
Yeah.
And Georgia became really good with Mark Richt, and then Alabama obviously with Saban.
Did you get it? When was that championship with T. Martin? What year
98.
Was it? So you okay?
I was there.
All right, good for you.
That was fun.
Who was your you get a little giddy fellow athlete giddiness when you met them, or would still want to meet someone? The last time you were starstruck.
He's the biggest legend in Dallas. You know, 41 Dirk. I played a lot of hoops growing up. I'm almost his height.
Yeah.
Now I've become friends with him because he's a big tennis guy.
Yes.
Loves tennis.
Yes. Have you ever played with
Absolutely.
Him?
Absolutely. Play with him a bunch.
He's got game?
He's got game. Doesn't move that well. He's got a great forehand. Backhand's a little suspect. Of course, a good serve. But he loves tennis. He loves getting out there. It's one of his big forms of exercise.
Are you into pickleball?
We were talking about that right before. I mean, a little bit. I don't. Like a lot of tennis players or tennis, I'm not a tennis purist, but that really I don't scoff at it. I have a strong disdain for pickleball.
It's fun.
I like playing, but I mean, it's like, you can't compare it to tennis. It's a joke. I mean, come on. Right. But I like pickleball. It's fun to play. It really is. But I mean, tennis is the king. It's like not even a comparison.
I feel bad. Like, I've only played pickleball like twice, but when you play doubles, I mean, you just try to, you know, rip the ball, and it's always some grandma on the other side.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't really go hard.
But what pickleball has, it's you know, you could, someone 65 can compete with someone 20.
Yeah.
Get the ratings together, and it's you can, you know, get a good game out of that.
I want to tie in tennis and football because a lot of people are complaining that the Bills and Josh Allen got cheated. Why isn't there a chip in the football? Why don't we have the tennis technology of the review? Is it as awesome and as foolproof as we think? Like the calls, you never second guess them. Just talk about that comparison and how you guys do it.
Well, you can second guess them, the calls on the tennis court, because there's not many tournaments have actual linesmen on the court anymore. I don't know if there are any. They don't exist anymore. Everything is Hawkeye Live, or there's a couple different systems out there where the lines are called automatically and there's a robot voice out. You know, if it's out, you know, then the ball's out. You can't argue that because there's no one to argue against. There's no
right.
They'll replay it if it's close, just for the fans.
Yeah.
But in the past, obviously, you thought umpires got it wrong all the time on the tennis courts. I really think tennis is leading the charge in all of sports in terms of technology and getting calls right and taking the human error part out of the game.
Yeah.
You think football would, they've got to be able to implement some, you know, something. Obviously, when there's 22 people piled in trying to, you know, it seems like there should be something better than the old eye test.
What was your
chain?
See if the ball got across that yellow line.
What's your, I want you to guess his fastest serve ever. I want to see.
Okay. So I need a frame of reference.
No frame of reference.
What's the league average?
No, I just want you to guess.
All right. You know what? My first shot was a shot of 151.
Okay.
I'll say 151.
What's your top speed?
That's a hell of a guess.
It, not bad.
It was like 157 or 56.
Here's my question, though. Something like How good are you guys really at seeing the lines? If someone's hitting 150 at you, mm-hmm. you feel like your eye is that good versus the technology and the umpire to get the calls right? Like, how out of 10?
Oh, no. The technology is better than our eyes. But prior to this technology in tennis,
you were 150 miles per hour.
No, 156.
156.
It was just the world record.
But you see how he acted like he did? He's like, well, what
no,
was
it's 56 or 57. I can't remember.
At that rate,
150.
It's a blur anyway.
But I was in Australia and it was in kilometers. So it didn't quite register to me that I hit because it was like 230.
Plus the gravitational pull of the earth under the equator. It
157. Okay, hang on real quick. He stood in against Derek Kahn, good buddy of ours, major league pitcher. I don't know if you've ever done that. If amateur tennis players stood in against your serve, like, are we getting knocked out in the throat? Like, how many times?
You could. If I go body, yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on where you're standing. If you're standing on the baseline and I go body, yeah, I'm likely to knock you over.
What do you think there'd be more of a chance of, like, putting a racket on your serve or a bat on a baseball?
I think a racket on the serve is easier if you have no experience.
Yeah.
Because we're further away serving the ball. And the baseball pitchers, they're close, man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, no shot. Not in a million years could I get a bat on a Clayton Kershaw curveball, fastball. Not in a million years. And I would be so scared, too.
So that's one of the questions, like, you know, because pitchers are throwing the ball harder than ever. Do they move the mound back? As, you know, when a tennis court was formed in whatever year it was, mm-hmm. I mean, the serve was probably
so much
a
slower.
Fraction of what it is today. Mm-hmm. Is that something that they would consider as lengthening or widening the court?
No. Tennis is tennis. It's got its tradition. They can, if anything, tennis would tinker with the rules of doubles just to make doubles at the pro level more attractive, and they're always kind of doing that. But no, they shouldn't. Tennis should stay the same.
We always talk about youth sports and, you know, the numbers game in Little League and what's coming up and lacrosse and this and that. Where are we with youth tennis? Like, is the talent shooting up? Is the participation shooting up? The young kids that you're seeing coming onto the tour? Like, where are we with that participation and growth?
I think there has been, the last like 10 years, has been an uptick in participation. And that's in large part of, if we have on the American side, on the men's and the women's side, if we have very attractive pro players for these kids to watch and for, you know, these guys and girls to be competing deep into Grand Slams, that really, really helps things. So I think...
You talking about attractive, like, looks?
No, well, both. That helps, too. I was not talking about that. I'm talking about attractive games, and they're going deep into our biggest tournaments, which are always on TV with a worldwide audience. That's how you're going to get kids to watch and want to play our sport. And I do think there's been an uptick in that recently. We have a lot of amazing players on the men's side, probably the best crop of men's players we've had in 15, 20 years, easily.
Wow.
As far as, you know, the whole crop of players, and the women have always been strong, obviously led by Serena Williams for all those years. And we just had Madison Keys win the Australian Open. So the women have always been solid, but the men are starting to catch up.
Is that your way of saying, like, Federer's overrated because he didn't have the
opportunity? Yeah, you would probably say that Fed is overrated. You would probably try
would
to make that argument.
I get him, John.
He only won 22 Grand Slams.
I could argue that that Joker might be better. I could make it the argument.
Yeah, you could. I'm sure you could, yeah.
I could make the argument. Yes.
Who was your tennis idol?
Pete Sampras.
Okay. That's right, baby. Yeah, had to be
Sampras.
Pete.
Sampras
over Agassi.
What?
Yes.
I'm with you. Absolutely. I like them both, and I've fortunately been able to get to know both of them. But for me, it's Pete. like his athleticism was unmatched. His serve volley, his chip charge, his volleys, his jumping overhead. Like he was just the best to watch for me. His body hair, yeah, his tongue dang. Out when he would serve. He got a lot of,
How do you stack up Pete and Rodgers with, you know, similar games?
Similar games, Rodgers, you know, way better. 22 Grand Slams to 14. He played longer. Pete retired early, and Pete retired. Not many people remember this. He retired on top. He won the U.S. Open and said bye. And he won the U.S. Open. Think about that. I think it was like early 30s or something. And that was it. He did his press conference at this mandatory press conference, and he did nothing. No press tour, nothing. Flew back to L.A., and that's it.
Is he still married to that girl?
Bridget Wilson?
Yeah.
Is it Bridget Wilson?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about the Dallas Open. Yep. We heard that you were a really, really strong influence and force in terms of making this happen. Set it up for our listeners.
Yeah, so the Dallas Open is here. It's up in Frisco at the Star this year. Qualifying starts on Saturday. Main draw starts on Monday, and it concludes on Super Bowl Sunday. The first 3 years of the tournament were right in the neighborhood at SMU, at their indoor tennis center. It was really amazing what SMU was able to do, how to transform their indoor tennis center, which is, by the way, one of the nicest indoor tennis centers I've ever seen. It's where I would always practice the last 7 years. But they were able to construct a center court into the existing building on the SMU's campus at their indoor courts. The tournament was very successful, especially as far as tickets are concerned. And the ATP Tour recognized that and awarded the tournament a 500-level sanction on the ATP Tour. So what that means is the first 3 years of the tournament at SMU, it was an ATP 250-level event, which means the winner gets 250 points. Now it's a 500-level event, which is a huge upgrade for the tournament and for the city and for everyone involved. The top of the food chain on the ATP Tour, the ATP 1000, winner gets 1,000 points, blah, blah, blah. But it's a big step up. I mean, the total prize money in the first three editions at SMU, the purse was about $800,000. Now the purse is $2.6 million.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a big jump up. The players are playing for more money, more points, more everything. And it's just great. The field is strongest it's ever been. Three players in the top 10 in the world, two of them American. We have a Norwegian number 5 in the world. Casper Ruud is coming to town to play. Ben Shelton's playing. He made the semifinals of the Australian Open. Francis Tiafoe is playing. So the tournament's loaded with talent, and it's a full 32 draw. So right out of the gate on Tuesday night, you're going to get great matches.
Ford awesome. Center at the Star. Tickets on sale now. DallasOpen.com. I was a little worried about you coming in the studio. I didn't know. Tennis, this... Do you do a podcast?
That's funny. I do a podcast. It's tennis. It's tennis centric.
Okay.
It's called. Thanks for the plug. It's called Nothing Major. Me and three of my buddies. We never won a Grand Slam.
I get you.
A couple of us were close. But we call it Nothing Major because between the four of us, we never were able to win a Grand Slam. Tennis centric. But I could honestly talk about.
Dude, you need to be on. You need to do.
We didn't even get in the NHL. It's probably my favorite sport. So.
Please come back.
Yeah.
Anytime to talk anything.
Have me as a guest. I'm pretty comfortable in this seat.
John Isner killing it here. Spittle well outside waiting for the autograph. We have
Is
him
he here?
Here.
I don't know yet.
I guarantee you he's creeping somewhere
Who's
around
this?
Here.
Our
he's
boss.
Our boss. He's okay. A very good tennis
Hall
player.
Hall of Famer.
I'm
tennis
a high school mixed doubles tennis champion myself.
There you go. Congrats. That's awesome.
So there, yes. Well, I wasn't good enough to compete all men's. Let's cross talk with the KMC Masterpiece next.